Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Kino Tri Show. Whether it's ratchet or inspirational, dope or disturbing, let's talk about it. You never know who'll stop through. This dude's worldwide. So kick your feet up, relax, and let the libations flow. It's the Kino Tri Show. All the cool kids are listening. Don't be a Stanley.
Yes, yes, yes. What's up? Welcome to another episode of the Kino Tri Show. I got my co-host Jamil Harley in the
what
building.
What up, though?
Yeah. Stephen Knows is not here today. He took a sabbatical. I think he's on a cruise or something. I hope they don't throw him over the side, use him as bait, catch one of them sharkses. Today's show, we're going to have Ernest the Cat Miller as a guest. He's running a little late. You know how divas do, but you know.
All right, he's going to come here. All right, hope maniac.
I smack his ass over the head like a chair, with a folding chair. Remind him of back in the day. But now we good, man. I'm excited. I'm excited this week. Football season officially starts back on Thursday, and I cannot wait personally.
Man, I don't know why you or anybody participates in professional sports, football, etc. How in the hell does Tom Brady get? He throws his phone away.
Yeah, he throws his phone away. They got some very damning texts between him and the ball guys.
Yeah,
and it's pretty obvious. And where there's smoke, there's fire. This ain't the first time that New England's been caught.
This is like the third time, right?
Yeah, they've been caught spying on other people. Mm-hmm. I forgot what the last one was. It's just been so many. And this team is still supposed to be a flagship organization. I don't see how.
And look what happened to Marion Jones when she gets caught.
Oh yeah, Marion Jones. Oh yeah, I forgot about her. That's
all
been a while.
All these people that got caught cheating.
Yeah, yeah. They get kicked out of the sport. Damn near. He had a few suspensions, and now it's like it never happened.
That's why I can't rock with it, man.
But I mean, I just need something to do sometimes. Sometimes it'd be boring. Like, good luck to all the comics out doing open mics during football season, especially if you go in a place where
the TVs are on.
Ain't nobody paying attention to your ass.
Nobody, baby. No matter how funny your jokes are, you think they are.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Monday night football, Thursday night football, you can forget about it. Yeah.
That's one of the struggles comics don't talk about is TVs in a bar. If you have to do an open mic in a bar and they have the TVs on, that's one more thing you got to add to the list of things you have to fight against.
Because most time when you go into bars, people don't even know it's a comedy show going
on.
They're just ordering wings. Next thing, like, have you ever walked? Would you shut your?
We're about to get started. Everybody ready?
Right.
People looking like, hell no. Ready for what? I'm tired. I just came from work. I can't get some wings and a beer.
I don't hear nobody talking.
Yeah. But it's one of the struggles, man. But shout out to football season. Shout out to the another losing season for the Falcons. I don't really see.
You just going to tell them that already?
Yeah,
huh?
I'm going to just go ahead and say they'd be lucky if they go 8-8.
Why? I mean, weren't they doing good the last? I don't keep up with it. But.
Nah, they missed the playoffs last year. And
that was the first time in a long time, right?
Yeah, but I mean, anytime they make the playoffs, it's kind of fugazi. It's kind of like you know that the echelon of talent they run up against is going to be too much. Yeah, Matt Ryan, he's a good quarterback. He's not the one that's going to put a team on his back and take it to the Super Bowl. I keep saying that. And people may argue, oh, what about his numbers? He throws 4,000 yards a season. But, damn, he got Pro Bowl receivers. And, like, he had Tony Gonzalez was the best tight end ever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you have that and you are a pro, yeah, you're going to put up numbers. That's what I say. It's fugazi. So, shout out to the Falcons fans, and I love to tease them every week. I say it for getting priced out. When that new stadium come, won't be no black people down there. They be outside.
Are they supposed to go up on the
yeah, the personal seat license. And this is has nothing to do with the actual ticket itself. It is, you pay for the right to buy season tickets, and minimum is $2,500. Average is $5,000.
What was it prior?
Nothing. Nothing. You just bought season tickets. Yeah. Now you just have to buy the personal seat license to be able to purchase the tickets.
Oh, so that made sure just your average fan couldn't get it.
Oh, yeah, your average fan. And Atlanta Falcons was one of the few teams out there that had a, if you go to a game, the audience was primarily black. So
again, I don't understand why people participate in this crap in the first place, because there's so many levels of
Pricing your ass out.
Basically racism.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
classism?
Yeah, classism. I would say it's more so classism.
Which in this
country,
classism equals racism.
Yeah, for the most part,
because
there's a certain group that has all the money primarily.
Yeah.
So, and it's happening around the country. So Arthur Blank wants to be like the Yankees and like the Dallas Cowboys, because that model worked in Dallas and it worked in New York. With because the fans will pay anything, but these are flagship teams that have a heritage, a legend, like the Cowboys. That's America's team. The Yankees, that's America's team. The Falcons,
the Neon Deion.
Yeah, I mean,
that's all they got. The Dirty Bird Day.
Deion ain't coming back through them doors.
Wow. Deion ain't going through. No, he's going through a church door.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing.
So, I mean, good luck, Falcons. Good luck. That's all I got to say. Like I said, they'd be lucky if they go 8-8. I'm thinking 6-10. I think there's 16 games in the season, maybe 17, but I don't think they're going to make 500. But we'll see. People get excited. They want a preseason game. People get excited preseason. But when that real whistle blow on the regular season, it's a whole different ball game. So shout out to Matt Ryan, a.k.a. Matty Slush. But
why you got to be Matty Slush, though?
that's what I call it. It's sports, man. It's sports. Not against him personally. He's a great guy, I'm sure. I just not on the Falcons.
Bandwagon.
Not this year. Not this year. Maybe you get – bring Michael Vick back. They could have brought Michael Vick back. That would.
Speaking of Vick, how's he doing in the preseason?
Well, the highlight they keep showing over and over again is him throwing this touchdown first time he touches the ball. No, he didn't throw a touchdown. He just threw a deep pass, which looked good. Looked like vintage Vic. So between dog fighting and raping, the Steelers should
they ain't going to bring up the rape stuff, though.
Never. But anytime you hear anything about Michael Vick, Michael Vick's going to the bathroom. And did you know he was fighting dogs and went to prison for 2 years? Like, he can't make a move without the dog fighting stuff. I looked online and I saw the pictures of people wearing shirts talking about some fight me Vic or something like that. It was real stupid. And I look at those people like, freaking get a life.
Vic would probably whoop their ass.
Yeah. Dude hadn't fought a dog in over a decade. Like, it would make sense if Vic was still fighting dogs or suspected of fighting dogs. I could understand you protesting. Like, this dude is still – but this dude is a pillar of the community. Like,
it's almost time to retire. You still talking about dogs.
Yeah, you still fighting dogs. But there's people running around raping, running into people, killing people. But
shout out to Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
A known rapist that stays under the radar.
Stays under the radar.
Well, allegedly.
But that's the privilege. That's the privilege.
Yeah.
the next story, which is all over Facebook, Kim Davis out of Kentucky. And this is the young lady, and I use young loosely.
Is she young?
She ain't young.
She got an old mullet.
She got some miles on her, and she got the standard Kentucky mullet.
Mm-hmm.
But they locked her up because she was denying a marriage license for same-sex individuals. And it didn't take long. They dug into her past and found out she had been married like 4 times. And like,
I saw they had a baby by the third husband.
Yeah, had a baby by the third husband while she was still messing with the first husband. Like, where did the second husband come in? Like, he had no...
First of all, looking at her, why was there even a first husband?
Well, it's Kentucky, man. It's Kentucky. It's a small town.
Yeah.
Like, in a small town, I'm not sure what city in Kentucky. I can't really see, but I mean, in Kentucky, she's probably a
probably a fox.
Yeah, she's probably a country six, country six, country seven. You know, she come to Atlanta. She's in the negative.
I was about to say, the negative double digits.
Negative double digits. But, yeah, in Kentucky, I'm sure she's like a six or seven. If she's a good Christian, that might take her up a notch.
And I think, did you post a video? Did you reshare a video of her when getting out speaking or something?
No, but I see it on the...
a lot of people did.
Yeah, MSNBC posted this phrase over her video, and it says Kim Davis is free from jail and walks on stage to Eye of the Tiger before breaking her silence. Like she is a
like
hero.
She was a political prisoner.
Yeah, yeah, like she was Mandela or somebody. It's the Eye of the Tiger.
This world is already crazy, but it's going from crazy to ridiculous.
Yeah, and she's holding up a cross. She's holding up
not just her, it's the whole crowd.
Yeah.
Is that Huckabee or is that a politician that's standing right next to her?
He looks politicianish.
I think he's a politician. And these people are so crazy. If the religion that you believe in, if that God is so powerful and doesn't like homosexuality, why would he create it? Or why would he allow it to be created? What gives you as a human, since you believe in that higher power, what gives you the right to take over his responsibility?
Right. Well, you know, people pick and choose what they want from the Bible. So
exactly.
I saw something recently, and it was a minister, and he was speaking to his congregation, and he brought out the hypocrisy.
I've seen that one.
Yeah, where he...
You see where they try to get quiet on him?
Yeah, where he talked about, like, if you're so against homosexuality, well, you should be totally against it. So he was honest to say, sing a popular church song that doesn't have, you know, homosexual hands on it. Like,
yeah, that's not a popularized song because some a homosexual. And he said... And while you at it, I think he was in Leviticus, you're not supposed to be eating shellfish.
Shellfish.
While you at it, you know that right there.
Yeah, your wife not supposed to come out of the house when she's on her cycle or stuff like that.
and then when you think about Amazing Grace was written by a slave master.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I did hear about that.
What's his name? I forget his name, but he was a slave trafficker, and he was on a boat one day. And hit a big storm, and he thought he was gonna die, so he prayed.
Wow!
And then he made it through the storm. So now he comes up with Amazing Grace.
Never would have made it.
Right. And on Sunday, who's the biggest Amazing Gracers?
Church folks. Well, shout out to Kim Davis, man. She's free.
Somebody need to get her a Bullrick's Groupon or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think she should go back to her job because isn't that like violating the terms of your job?
She was insubordinate.
Yeah, you are a servant of the people. I mean, you work for the.
Did you see where a judge went to jail for that too?
No.
Yeah, I just saw that today.
Dang, this is turning into a big deal, but
deal that's not even a big deal.
Yeah, looking at the video, she's holding up her hands like she just won the big bout. So
yeah, like boom bye yay.
Yeah, so where's Tim Tebow? Her and Tim Tebow will probably have a show on the 700 Club now or something.
Yeah.
Speaking of 700 Club, have you seen that lately?
Come on, man.
That dude's neck is gone. Like he is 90-something years old.
What's his name?
I don't even know. I don't even care. He's the old white man that needs to...
He's racist too, right?
Oh, very racist. Yeah. Very racist.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, very militant. I remember him making the news calling for the assassination of the president of, I think, Venezuela.
Oh.
So you're a 700 Club Christian, and you... Go on your show.
Let's kill somebody.
Yeah, and call for the death of a leader you don't agree with. I don't know what this president was doing in Venezuela, but apparently he pissed the 700 Club man off, and that's not a good thing. So
I remember that vaguely. Venezuela wasn't bound down to America.
Yeah, I mean, no telling what they had going on in Venezuela, but he felt the need to say. Now, had that been Al Sharpton or Tavis Smiley on his show talking about assassinate somebody, they would have pulled him off the air before he got the name of the president out.
Well,
kill the president. Oh,
We need to send that message to Al Sharpton and say, hey, read these lines. Don't think about it. Just read it. You get halfway through and you realize what he's saying. Oh, I'm just playing. The show has been pulled off of the air.
But oddly enough, in the mornings, when I'm getting ready about to leave work, at a certain hour, I'll flip through the channels, and 700 Club is at least on two channels at the same time.
It's on Real Late, too.
Yeah, so
that's when they get their money, when it's real late, when
real
people
late.
Make a bad decision, and when they wake up.
Sow your seed. because it's a good time to take a break. We're going to see where this so-called guest of ours is. If you want to call into the show, the number is 607-203-5368. We'll be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Keno Trice Show.
It's been a long time. Long time. We shouldn't have left you. Without a dope beat.
Would you give up or try again? If I hesitate to let you in, know to be yourself or play a role. Tell all the boys I keep it low. If I say no, would you turn away or play me off? Or would you stay up? Oh,
don't worry. Dust yourself off and try again. You can dust it off and try again.
Try again. If it's a person, don't succeed. You
couldn't help but notice your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
Had the diva show up. Ernest the Cat Miller is here on the Kino Trice Show. How you doing, Ernest?
Diva. Who you calling a diva? Stay there and get away in Atlanta. What's up, man?
You got to talk to the mic, man. You
it's a bunch of us out there, men that is, that think they're divas.
Well,
So you can't use that term.
Well, I just meant it as being fashionably late. And,
how about just a lot of good fashion?
And,
yeah, I see you. Nah,
and
see how smooth
and,
I am.
And see, I was lying about fashionable. I wanted to take that back, just being late.
Just like I was lying about that hairline you got going on.
Oh, shot fire!
The one you used to have.
Hey, my hairline dope.
Yeah, look like you was going dope.
A lot of hairline envy coming in here.
What you trying to say?
Nothing, man. Just
you trying to say I don't have a hairline?
Nah, I got some clips.
I decided to go bald. It wasn't like I had to. I decided to shave my hair.
Or was it divine intervention?
My girl liked the bald head, you know, so I like to shave it.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
Y'all two dudes, you and Jameel, y'all got the perfect hairline. I think a little paint been thrown up there. You know they got that spray paint hairline now.
Nah, my
something
brother.
Going down with that.
Oh, shoot. So,
while they were painting on your hairline, you decide, go ahead and paint me a mustache. That's a fake mustache.
You must have seen that on TV or something.
No, that's a fake mustache. I'm looking right at you, eyeball.
How is it fake?
Man, there's no way
you can
have
it's not as grizzly as yours. I have clippers.
This
I own
new,
clippers.
This is new, this
I know
a
how
new
to trim.
You see the guys out there kind of Rick Ross style, you know, right?
You know Rick Ross, sir.
But what do you think about it? You got a beard. What do you think about this? This beard I have on my face.
Hey, keep going, man. It'll fill in.
Yeah. It'll fill in.
Yeah. Kind of loose up here.
Hey, hey. That's what she said.
It'll fill in.
Oh, I don't know how some people deal with you.
You gotta have a beard when you get a bald head, though.
Yeah,
man.
You got to.
Yeah.
I mean, I had it right. It was just nice and thick and full. This guy tell me, okay, let me shape it in for you. Let me kind of blend in a little bit. And look at it. I said, man, you messed my damn beard up. I wanted my money back.
Did he spray some of that stuff on it? You know they got that black spray.
You know they dyed it.
It's a name for it. I don't forgot what it's called.
Fiber.
Fiber.
Is it straight
fiber?
I don't need
any fiber.
That's what this is. Barber. He approached me and said, yeah, man, if you need the fiber, I do that too.
Oh, yeah. For real? What is that? Tell me about that.
Shoot, the auto barber down here, dude. Yeah.
What is it, though?
It's this it's paint.
Yeah, basically.
It's some type
paint
of
paint. Look like hair, right?
It don't look nothing like hair. These people look stupid with this stuff on.
I had it done for a photo shoot years ago, and you can't. As soon as you pull your shirt off, it's
come
all
off.
Over your shirt. And all that. Yeah, it's stupid because it looks fake.
Well, I will tell you this: Marcus Harvey, the barber star. Shout out to him. He's the most. He's probably by far the most talented barber that I've ever let do that on my hair because I had a photo shoot too. And I had cut my hair all the way off bald and my beard. And so it had just grown back, but it was still a little patchy. So he does this technique. It's called HD, where he actually dyes. He puts a dye that dyes the skin as well as the hair to make it look full. And you could not tell because it wasn't real dark. Like some of these cats look like you put a Sharpie on their face.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So you couldn't really tell. So he's really dope. But his process at the time was like $50. But he gave it to me free because we was hanging like that.
And is this dye or is it spray? Because you know they had the hair in the can, you know, where you can spray the hair.
That's Rogaine.
No, they got hair in the can. You can spray your face or the spot.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And it's like hair.
Yeah. Was it? I think it was some kind of foam. More foam.
Well, no, it wasn't no damn foam, man. Where you coming from with this?
Man, I saw it. I know what you're talking about. They used to have an infomercial. I saw you on it.
Kevin.
He was like, let me get that hairline. Can you spray a hairline?
Now, before we get started, what do I have to call you? Can I call you Kevin?
No, my name is Kevin.
That's not your real name. Why do you want me to call you Keno?
My name is Keno Trice.
Why? It's Kevin.
It's Keno.
If I call one of your relatives, close relatives now,
they were like, it's
Keno. What's his name? What would they say?
They would say Keno Trice.
They'd say, he don't live here. Yeah. Okay, how about Kevin? Yeah, he's upstairs.
So what's up with you, man? We brought you on the show to antagonize you a little bit, but you came striking first. So.
Well, you know, you guys look strange when I came here. Ain't gonna walk into a room with two strange black guys. Y'all ain't gonna kill me. I know what's going on.
Oh, so now you said we're part of the problem. Is that
y'all
why we're getting tired
of
the problem? We're dangerous,
man. It's all love in here.
Yeah, I know it.
He just
y'all just look like y'all was on the attack mode. So
and embrace.
Right. Look, I shook his hand. Like, you an ugly dude. You got that paint on your head.
I had to get started right away. Y'all kind of looking like y'all could be related, so something will go
on.
You
team light skin. You team light skin.
Y'all
you
going, like, something will go on.
I'll
down.
Be sure, Uncle. I'll be damned. That's
right. How long you been practicing on that, Kevin?
Oh, I got a million and one of them. I got
yeah,
a man.
I see you pulling out your little.
And I'm here all night.
Folder. I see you here all night. I see you working out your folder. So what have you been up to, Kev? You been working on anything?
Who is this person you talked about?
I mean, okay, what's this? Joe No, Keno, what's his name?
Who is Kevin?
Yeah, all right. Can I call you at least Mac 10 then? A real
yeah,
hard name.
Full life.
King 10 or something, not Keno. What is Keno? That's a lottery, right?
Yeah. What is an Ernest?
Ernest is a very honest man.
Ernest is an honest man.
Yeah, Ernest.
Ernest was very popular.
Did you
remember
play
that?
The play on how to be Ernest or being Ernest?
No, I remember Ernest P. Go to Camp. Was that
Ernest T? If you want
Ernest
to say,
T.
Right.
Is it
yeah,
Ernest
did,
P.
Yeah, did, was that the guy that was like the mascot for Linder's ice cream? Or something?
Yeah,
like?
It was
yeah,
some kind
yeah,
of ice cream. Yeah, Ernest. Okay. He was corny. He was corny in country. So
yeah,
you fit
yeah,
that. You
yeah,
fit
I
that.
Know.
Uh-huh. Corny is a big country.
You from?
Decatur, Georgia. Here.
Where?
Yeah.
Decatur,
yeah,
Georgia.
Yeah.
How'd you get into wrestling?
Oh, well, doing martial arts, teaching martial arts. One of my students happened to be the son of the president of the company, well, Eric Bischoff. So they saw me performing. They said, you know, this guy's talented. You know, we might be able to work with him on our TV show. So they opened the doors for me.
So you was on WWE and WWF? Or?
I was on WCW first,
WWE.
And then I went to WWE.
Okay. Yeah, man, when I was a kid, I used to be a big wrestling fan, man.
Oh, yeah, who was your favorite? Hogan.
Junkyard Dog.
Hogan.
Come on now.
How about Hogan?
Nah, I wouldn't
know. Yeah, I think you look like a Hogan.
Come
though.
On, man.
One of those Hoganites.
If you wait, say your prayers.
Say
take
your
prayers. Vitamins.
Come on, brothers. It's 20 and 5 times. Get the hell out of here. No, the Junkyard Dog was good, though. Yeah, I met him a couple of times, man. He's a nice guy.
Is he real cool?
You know he's dead now, but yeah.
Yeah,
he's
no,
still
think,
cool.
Was he real
yeah,
cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really
Because
he used to come out, too. What was the song he used to come out?
Do-do-do. Yeah, sure did. Yeah.
Do-do-do.
Yeah. JYD.
Yeah.
I remember him. He had that little fro.
It was little. He had that chain on.
Yeah,
the
chain.
Why you hating on people with
no,
a little fro?
No, I'm just saying he had that
Are
little
you mad because your hairline is still just barely there? Don't hate on that man. The first thing he said, a fro. This guy was big. He was tall.
Was he?
Yeah.
He didn't look that tall.
Oh, and he had a little fro.
He was about 6'4", 6'5".
Really? You know, I was in the club one time in Indianapolis, and I don't even know the guy's name, but he was a really huge black guy with, like, dreads.
Booker T.
Booker T, probably.
That probably was him.
Yeah.
And but this was back in, like, 2003.
Yeah,
he was wrestling.
That was his time.
Because I started in wrestling in 96.
Mm-hmm.
And they had been there a few years before, so.
Mm-hmm.
Because
he was real cool. I was thinking he's gonna be like, "Get out my face, punk!" But I was like, "Hey, man, are you a wrestler?" He's like, "Yeah, my brother." That's
have you ever heard that? Don't tell anyone.
What?
A wrestler is fake.
A wrestler that's fake?
Yeah, it's
yeah,
fake.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody. We don't want nobody to know.
No, I mean,
we know the one person listening to this show at home is not gonna tell anybody.
Right. I know grown dudes that be like, "It ain't fake."
Yeah. No, okay. It's fake.
Yeah,
that's when I stopped watching it, when I realized it was fake.
My brother still watches it like it's real. I'm like,
why?
It's
fandom.
Faker
yeah.
now
yeah,
than
it's
it was
faker
before.
Now than ever. Yeah.
Yeah. Before, it was some real things going on with some really good athletes. Now it's just a bunch of wannabes and guys who just want to get their fame or do anything
yeah,
out there now. You
it's
know,
like
it's
a soap opera now.
Reality show.
Yeah, because it's written mostly on script. It was scripted. Before, when we was there, things happened in the ring, and it happened on TV, and that's what the only thing you knew
right.
was going on. But now, behind the scene, they got the telling of what's going on in the locker room. They got the diva reality show. So they telling people what's going on behind. They controlling what's going on behind the curtain, too.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. I have seen the locker room. And
yeah, before you would never see the locker room.
They did a little bit of that.
Yeah.
When?
Back in the day.
Just
yeah,
a little bit.
Just
enough when to show what's going to spill over into the ring. But they didn't tell the story or how these guys, what's going on in the bag. Now you see guys who got like fights going on TV. You see them now hanging together. doing something at the airport, you know?
At Starbucks.
Yeah,
hey, right, brother.
Yeah. Right, but you just call him a bitch in the ring.
Yeah, before you would never see that. You know, and that was the mystique of pro wrestling. You know, everybody wanted to know, are you really mad at this guy? In 97, we had that, a little bit of that.
Did they tell y'all to stay away from each other in public, or it was just an unwritten thing?
You know, it's just an unwritten thing. It's like, okay, you wanted people to believe you. First of all, if people believe you, that means you get over. If you get over to the crowd, that means you're successful.
Yes.
So you wanted people to believe your character. You know, so when you were... would leave the locker room and leave the auditorium or wherever the wrestling matches at. You go and you live your life, and you want people to think when they see you, oh, this guy's mad at such and so because I saw it on TV.
Mm.
And just like if I slapped the shit out of you, right? People going to say, is that fake? Is that real?
Say, now, he got a red mark on
his
face.
Yeah, he got a black, he got a hand right across that.
Real as hell.
Matter of fact, that slap wiped away a little of that paint he got on that hairline.
There you go, just nonstop. Yeah. It's cool, though. I'm glad he's here. I'm going to slap him across the neck with a folding chair just to take him back to his old days.
So, John Williams, the dude I was telling you about, he used to be a comedian trying to get into it, but he got into wrestling with him and his brother. And I was asking him, so what are your goals? And he said eventually he wants to get into like the limelight of the professional field. But he said you have to take steroids.
Yeah, he's pretty small.
I never took steroids. And you know, back in the day, wrestling was for like a visual thing. For the bigger you are, the better you are. The more intimidating you are to the average man sitting at home who might want to be like you. So they went for bigger guys. So, and a lot of guys, you know, maybe they was on steroids, maybe they wasn't, but, you know, I never tried it.
Mm-hmm.
But today is a little different. Now it's all about, like, performing. You even see the guys. They're a lot smaller than the guys.
Yeah, they
right
sure
now.
Are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's true about you
now.
Got to be so big. You just got to have a talent that somebody want to see.
Oh, gotcha.
Somebody will pay to see, you know?
Yeah, and I would want to see the bigger swole guys. It's more believable, these little bitty dudes.
But what happened then, people start seeing all these big guys, and everybody start looking the same because everybody was big. Like, friends, when people see me, they were like, damn, I didn't know you were that tall. You look small on TV. Yeah, because everybody is 6'7", 6'8", 6'9".
Yeah.
Huge.
Yes.
I wouldn't even imagine they was that tall.
People like Kevin Nash, 6'10", 6'11". Hogan is like 6'6".
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, everybody, guy. All those guys are huge. Goldberg, one of my good friends, he's about 6'4", 6'5".
I did notice that, like, didn't Goldberg retire early and stuff? Like,
you know what? There's a history to the retirement. None of us really retired. It just, you know, when we was in WCW World Championship Wrestling, that was owned by Turner Network and Ted Turner. We was competing so hard to be the best that we were blowing everybody away. Monday night like was a lockdown for Monday Night Nitro. It was a lockdown. Even Monday Night Football couldn't keep up in 97, 98
really?
With the ratings. We were killing everybody. Then you had Raw with WWF, WWE, Monday Night Raw. And then they had their show that was maybe a couple of minutes ahead of our show on another network, and people were flipping back and forth. I mean, we were doing some great numbers, man. We were doing crazy numbers, you know? And let's say Monday Night Football might have been doing 4 million people, something like that. We were doing like 11 and 12.
Gracious.
It was kind of blowing them away, man, to Monday Night Football. It was rumbling of Monday Night Football, thinking about changing their night.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ratings were dropping.
Is that what Thursday was introduced or something?
Well, no, they just decided, hey, we got so many viewers and people watching us so much, let's do another night. So we were coming on Monday night, Thursday night, Saturday morning, and the shows were just unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah, with people watching.
So what do they attribute the fall off to? Is it
the fall off really wasn't, man. It was like all kinds of stuff going on. Ted Turner, when he first started his network, and I mean his father, it was just called China 17.
Mm-hmm. Most people remember that only had like baseball on there,
Yeah, I remember that.
And the only thing really kept them going was Ted Turner would tell you a pro wrestler.
Wow.
That's the only thing. Everybody watched pro wrestling. 6 o'clock Saturday, everybody watch it. So, you know, the ratings started catching on. People started catching on. And that year in 97, when wrestling really kind of turned it up, Ted Turner was happy with it. The company was making millions of dollars. He was very successful. You know, he was a billionaire. He started doing other things. And then, you know, he lost a lot of control of his company, you know, Turner. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
when Ty Warner came in and they started changing stuff. And then on the other side, wrestling was so successful that they people wasn't keeping up with how much money we were spending.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like let's say the NFL probably were getting a 3.2 rating.
Right, right.
And they probably spending for that hour or 3 hours they was on maybe, let's just say $5 million an hour. That's what they had to pay to get that rating.
Right, right.
But pro wrestling, here we were getting 11s and 12s, you know, and we had, everybody was getting paid a lot of money
right.
on the show. So, you know, when they looked at it and said, wait a minute, we getting high ratings, but, man, we paying this guy $100,000 a minute, you know, and then you got Hogan making $1 million a minute, you know, and then they start adding it up. So that's what they excuse. Their excuse was, although this company is doing well, we paying too much money to keep it, so we might want to change the outlook of in the landscape of Turner and TBS. We want to make TNT and TBS the network for men, you know, how to be funny. We want to change that redneck, which is pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So when that was going out, and on the other hand, you have Vince McMahon that was constantly suing WCW, and WCW was suing Vince McMahon because of contract, you know, contract negotiation between
the
wrestlers that would come from WWE to WCW.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, you could see Scott Hall or Jeff Jarrett. Let's use the name. Jeff Jarrett was one of the heavyweight champions there in WWF or WWE at the time. He was on their show Monday night at 7 o'clock, winning the championship, talking to Vince, talking in the ring on WWF, saying why he's the champion, doing the regular spiel to the fan, you know, setting up the show. Then 2 hours later,
he was on WCW
with their belt, holding up their belt on WCW, saying this belt don't mean anything to me, and throwing it in the trash can because he had a new contract that he didn't tell them about where he was getting paid more money at WCW.
Wow.
And that's when everything, man, we were sitting. And Vince McMahon get mad, and he got mad, and he wanted to do something. But, you know, there was nothing he could do because the guy was running the company really crafty and smart. You know, we had NWO. NWO was all WWE guys and WWF guys that came in at WCW at the same time. They said, we taking over. We calling the night NWO night. All those guys were just recently under contract with WWF. They were losing everybody. Although Vince McMahon is a billionaire, whatever they say.
Yeah.
Ted Turner is a billionaire. We had the president of the company had the checkbook. If he wanted somebody, he contact them, and they think, you know, they leaving his show, coming to our show. He was losing everybody.
So wrestling kind of went through what the NFL goes through now. Like, you don't have a player stay with one team his entire career.
It's a little different because wrestling does not have a
collective bargaining?
They got that, but they don't have, like, what we would call a union.
Right.
There's no players association or union.
Okay.
So if you get into it with WWE, you on your own. You know?
Yeah.
It ain't like if my wrestler and you get into it, you got the union behind you that's gonna go to battle for you.
Right. So you could essentially be cut off if you work for WWE and they say you did something we didn't like, or we ain't gonna give you an opportunity to be in the limelight, they can just let you go at any time, no repercussions, or would they have to pay out a contract?
Let's just say it's not like deflated football. Well, Brady get to go all the way to Supreme Court
right.
to argue his right. You
right.
know, that was his right to be able to go to the Supreme Court to say, wait a minute, they said I did this. I'm saying I didn't. So what's the process? Supreme Court ruled them. Not in wrestling because we don't have, because there's not a union.
Well, why don't you have that by now?
Because everybody afraid. Everybody afraid, man. Don't nobody want a union. Listen, if you want to, if let's say if I was Vince McMahon and I hear wrestling, they're talking about he going to get together a union with all the wrestlers. You got to have some wrestling.
Everybody.
He going to get rid of everybody who's talking because he don't want a union. He want to stay the only bump on his ass, pimp on his ass.
And
that's who he want to be because he want to control everything. That's smart. Smart business if you can do that. What other business in the world were the government or anybody let one person run everything? Let's say communication, cell phone. Think about your cell phone network carrier.
Yeah.
Suppose it was only one.
Yeah.
They could treat you like crap.
Yeah. So
if we don't care about you, you're going to have to come to us anyway.
Yeah, and so that's how he's treating everybody
and
crap.
So back I ain't saying he's treating everybody like crap, but he is, just think about it, he is the man in the business.
Yeah, and then too, with wrestling, there's so few spots and so many people gunning for them spots.
Everybody want to be a superstar. When you go into wrestling, you don't go into wrestling just to be the wrestler at the local high school. You going into wrestling thinking one day I'm going to be on that big level.
Yeah, on
the
big
level.
And
see, I got into it in a way to where it was good timing because I've never worked on a small thing. I worked on the two biggest brands in wrestling, WCW and WWF.
Yeah.
So going back to what you said about Vince McMahon being the only entity, so there's no WCW no more. Like, is there an alternative to WWE right now?
They got a show out, man. They got a wrestling show out, but there's no match for WWF, and it's called TNA.
So basically, he's monopolized wrestling.
Didn't you just hear me? Didn't I just say that?
That's against the law.
It's not against the law. If it was against the law, and you know what? It may be against the law. You know, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't say it is or it's not.
Yeah,
but that's what he's doing right now.
Okay.
You know that? I mean, and the way he got it tied down is you got other small organizations out there that try to keep up. But they can't compete with him.
With
he's so
money.
Far ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then people out there with money, too. But Vince is so, think about it. Vince is, what, a second generation? His dad was the one that started wrestling and started putting it together. And Vince just came in and took it to a different level.
Mm.
And then why would they have a union? He don't have to.
Yeah, why would they have a union?
That's his own creation.
I mean, watched, there's a documentary out. It's popular. I forget what the name of it. Matter of fact, I think I have it. It's talking about the first generations of like professional wrestling as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about how a lot of those guys were like damaged, like physically hurt, like they couldn't get insurance.
Oh yeah. I remember when I first got my check, man. My check was so big. I thought I was able to do things that I couldn't do at first, like get life insurance, you know, mm-hmm. make sure my kids was okay. And I remember I was pretty healthy too, young man, you know, I went in there, I got my, they did all my blood work. They did the physical that they give you before they cover you. And then when they cover me, they ask your job. And when you're telling your job, they write it down. And next thing you know, my rate was high. And then I was like, what the hell? You need to tell me something?
Yeah.
I mean, you got me on a level of someone just like they don't have 5 years to live. I didn't know that what they were doing until the guy explained to me. They don't tell you. I think the insurance people didn't tell you it's your job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they checked. They said, no, you're physically in shape. Everything checked out, you know. But when the guy said, it's your job, man. Wrestlers don't live long. And I didn't know that at that time. I was just coming into the business, getting into the business. But now since I've been in the business, it is hard. It damages your body. You know, just like anything you do out there, man. You know, if you sit in a chair too long, your back gonna go
imagine
out.
That.
Yeah, so
I sat down so long I broke my back. What?
Yeah, you'd be surprised what stuff. You know, so you know, it does something to your body. It don't build you up. You know, you got to continue to work on yourself.
Yeah, that's That's crazy. So the wrestling didn't offer insurance. You had to go out and get it on your own.
Everything you had to do, you had to get on your own. You know, they gave you health insurance in case you got hurt. In case you got hurt, they would take care of you. I tore my ACL, and I went to the best doctor in the world, James Andrew, repaired my knee. I think you know his history now. He's all over the NFL, the NBA, and Michael Jordan knee and shoulder. So he's a very well-known doctor.
And you hurt yourself in wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, because your tennis game sucks. That's why I was trying to
you gonna talk about my tennis game. Hey, this guy came over to my place, and I just met him, so he's looking at me. This dude is a little bigger than me. He's a little older, I'm going to kick his ass on this tennis court. I started playing with my left hand. And he was falling for it. He was making some beautiful shots. I'll tell you what. Let's bet $20. Next thing you know, I said, wait a minute. Let me see. I think it's better in my right hand. This is my left hand tennis racket. Let me play my right. Man, I tore that ass up.
Hey, did he tell you he was the Tom Brady of tennis? Deflategate. he was giving me all the flat balls.
Old secret they tell me. You bring out this big pail of tennis balls, right? And then you bring out this one little thing of new balls. So whenever I'm serving, I reach in the new balls and take it out. Then when it's his time, he said, throw me some balls. I reach in.
Flat-ass ball.
Flat ball, and I throw it over there to him. And he was too scared to say anything. He hit the damn ball, he make it over the net.
Yeah, cheater. But anyway, we're gonna take a break. If you want to call in, and for those online listeners, and you want to talk live to Ernest Miller, the number is 607-203-5368. When you call in, make sure you press 1 so that we know you want to talk. We'll be back in a few minutes. Listen to the Keno Tri Show.
Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Squad going. Nobody flipping packs now. I just did 3 in a row. Them shows is back to back to back now. Put the world on a sound. You know, party in the weekend. Ain't got no motherfucking time. The party on the weekend. Tell Jello, bring the juice. We about to get lit. Fill the room up with some things. One night open, this is it.
Always working OT. Overtime and not all time. Shit is crazy back home. It kills me that I'm not around.
I think we getting too deep. Shit I'm talking might be too true. Upstairs, I got Zans in the Advil bottle. I don't take them shits, but you do. So I got them for you.
I don't need the pills. I'm just gonna have another drink.
And when I'm putting work in on the weekend, I look back on this and think how we had the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up. Tuesday, got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Working Monday night on the corner flipping hard. Made at least 3,000 on the boulevard. I've been working graveyard shifts every other
the weekend. Ain't got no fucking time to party on the weekend. I've been flipping in the house, making jugs on the highway. I've been riding out of state, making money like my way. I don't think that I should dance. I'm just gonna have another drink. I'm doing my stance. You know my Molly pink. I got the loudest of the loud. You know my gas stink. My P.O. think I'm in the house. Don't give a damn about what she thinks. Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she Tuesday. Got the club going up.
We are back at the Keno Trice Show. We're in the studio with Ernest the Cat Miller and Jamil Harley, like the motorcycle.
So what was your thing? You know, Hulk Hogan had the brother and the Macho Man had the seat. Yeah, what was yours?
I really didn't have anything like that. You know, I had a couple of theme phrases I used to say.
I thought you used to wear the James Brown outfit.
Not the James Brown outfit. I just did the James Brown dance.
Oh, was that the Elvis outfit?
That was my outfit. That's the way I dressed every day. Every day you'll see me with this one piece on, maybe a scarf around the neck. That's how I dress.
Okay. I think he sat and made me watch like 50 million clips of him at his house one day. But I do remember him saying, somebody better call my mama or something.
Yeah. You know, I had a whole bunch of them. Yeah. I have spoken. You know, I had a bunch of things. Yeah. But, you know, people was more into what I was doing at that time. You know, it's like, wasn't nothing pre-prepared. It was like, okay, put me in that moment and something good to come from it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
See, sometimes Hogan and those guys would use that little phrase when they had nothing else to say,
right.
You know, and it was just something.
Like, I done ran out of gas. Oh, yeah, brother.
Yeah. But it worked for them, though, you know. But like The Rock had a lot of different things, and, you know, the way he used to put his little two cents in when he would say something. Smell what I'm cooking, and a whole bunch of them.
And that worked, because I saw T-shirts and all kind of crap.
I had T-shirts with my Call My Mama and stuff on there, too.
Why don't you wear one here tonight, man?
I don't need one. I got this shirt right here. This is a major tournament that I'm part of now. It's the Battle of Atlanta.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit, because I came to one event that you weren't fighting in it, but you were like
promoting. Yeah,
so
yeah, it's called karate sport fighting, and it's just competing, you know, of all ages, compete against each other just to be grand champion. A champion of the division.
And you travel or are sponsored by Paul Mitchell?
I travel now. I was sponsored by Paul Mitchell many years, but I got another sponsorship with Executive Edge.
Okay.
So, you know, they sponsor me and send me to a lot of different tournaments.
Yeah, I think you're fighting. A lot of cheating you do.
Hey, they said Michael Jordan was a cheater, but he got 6 rings, right? When you win, and everybody said, there's no way you can be doing everything.
I tell you
right.
What, LeBron takes about 8 steps before he gets the cup.
And don't nobody say anything
LeBron
about
doesn't
it.
Put the ball on the floor at all.
He takes off running. Like it's a football.
And people get out of his way.
So you're calling veteran moves. It ain't cheating.
It's
just veteran
cheating.
Moves.
Yeah. Cutting their heads, keeping it tight, you know?
So you have a karate class, right? You teach it.
I don't teach a karate class. I work out with a few guys, and, you know, it's like right now I'm not teaching. It's more just preparing myself and, you know.
For your fight.
for my fights.
Okay, you know? And these are real. These ain't wrestling stuff.
This is real stuff. Something I was known to be a champion of even before I got into wrestling.
Okay.
I was a tournament champion.
Okay.
And a lot of cheating. Deflated gloves.
You sound just like everybody else. Yeah, I guess I am the Tom Brady of karate.
But when we went to the event that he was promoting, it was kind of interesting because it surprised me. I thought we were going to see like the young people kind of battling, but there was kind of some artistry in it. There was dancing and routines.
Yeah, exactly, man. Something you had to practice at. You had to create. You had to be original. You know, it's a lot of you. You're an artist, you know, but it's martial arts.
Yeah, and what cracked me up was the individual. Like, they would come out and display their individual prowess in front of the judges, and this may have been just like a kick routine, some punches.
But it's not a routine. It's what we call a form. And when you kata, a form, when you work in those things, you're practicing hours and hours and hours to prepare for that moment to get in front of the judges. And most of the time, there's a pattern. That's a base. That you start with. You can kind of stray a little bit from that base, but you still got to stay on that base enough that even guys 50 years old who know that base can really kind of go in and say, okay, we understand what you're doing and it look good. You can't just go out there and make up something.
So it's a standard they had to follow.
Yeah, it's a base.
And they got to cover all those.
It's just like doing the nay-nay. You can, that's one way to do the nay-nay, but then you got guys who got three or four different ways, you know, the things they can throw in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was interesting. It was definitely interesting. Some people were super athletic. Like, some of them dudes flipping all over the stage. Like,
and you know,
monkeys.
Back in the day when I started taking karate people wasn't known as athletic or athletes.
Yeah.
You know, most of them were just guys who couldn't do anything else, nerdy guys who just want. But then here I am. I came in. I was a super athlete. You know, I was very athletic, big. They were like, why are you doing karate? Because I just wanted to do something, you know, do martial arts.
And
so,
and where did that come from? Where did your love of martial arts come from? Did it come from watching,
man,
like,
back in the day, growing up, man, watching Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee was big then. You know,
he was
like all Chinese connection. I remember Bruce Lee, it's a part in the movie where Bruce Lee is in the middle about maybe 200 guys. And he in the middle, and they just attacking him from each from every direction and everything. He just taking them on.
That's one of his most popular scenes.
Yeah, So, you know, me as a kid, the first thing I did, soon I came out of theater watching it, I went out there. I got
your
25
ass
of my friends.
You
yeah.
got your ass
25
kicked.
Of my friends. I said, y'all surround me. And then just, they said, well, what do you want us to do? I said, come and get me if you can. They said, you sure? Man, let me tell you something. They all came at the same time. My ass looked like a bag of old dirty clothes.
He's like, no, wait a minute.
Yeah,
not like that.
Man, one at a time, man. Guy came and drop kicked me in the back. I got a double drop kicked me from the side. I was like, wait.
And you know,
up.
It's always somebody going to take it too far.
And they were friends too. And they were laughing. So I went into karate. I just said, okay, that'll never happen again.
Mike Tyson said, everybody got a plan until you get punched in the face.
That's the whole key. I said to tell everybody, oh, that guy look good, man. He's out there competing. I said, oh, my goodness, he look good. He's smiling. The guy, he fighting before me. I said, he looked good, but then when he get in the ring against me, all that go out the door. The first thing I do, soon they said go, I hit him as hard as I can. And that, and if you're a man, you're going to say, oh, man, this dude hit hard. But if you count, you got a little crack in there.
Yeah,
you can see it. Their eyes shake. They don't look in the eyes anymore. They start looking down like a way out, looking at the clock.
Y'all wear protective gear, though, like the head.
That thing. Don't protect you from nothing, man. That don't protect you from nothing.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's headgear. You got gear on your hands. But think about it. If I got a glove on my hand, you get hit with it, it's going to
still hurt. Right.
Really, the glove protect me, my hand, from busting my knuckles up on your hard head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it don't really protect you as most people may believe.
Yeah, because I've seen online those tournaments, some of them kids get knocked out.
Knocked out
cold. Nice kick to the head.
They out cold, man.
So how you feel about MMA?
You know what? When I first started wrestling, that's what I was doing. but you would get like maybe $2,500.
Yeah.
To fight like crazy. You know, and then now
it was illegal then, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was not like a put together sport. You know, it was more like we get five fighters, I bring my fighter, you bring your fighter, we meet at the dojo or in the warehouse or wherever it was, and my fighter go against your fighter. I fought a boxer one time, and I don't think they told the boxer we could kick. Soon they said go, I kicked the hell out of him. He just fell over on the table like, wait a minute. They said, you out of here, you know. And when you lost, they didn't sit you down in the corner. You go get dressed and come back out. When you lost, they put your coat on and put you out of there.
Wow. Ain't nothing more for you to see.
No more to see, man. They didn't tell. I said, man, I feel so bad for this guy, man. And they used to set guys up with me like that all the time. Because they didn't tell guys. Like, for instance, they know my record was maybe 3-0, which means he only had 3 professional fights.
Right.
But I had been doing martial arts and karate tournament for years, where I had almost 3,000 karate tournament fights facing another man, you know,
right.
The best win. So when these guys come out there, they like rookies and they don't know. I'm looking at them like.
They like 3-0, ain't nothing.
Yeah, 3-0. I'm going to kick him, man. Let me tell you something. I had a guy who was 6'10". I was fighting a guy 6'10". And they weighed us in, you know, and it was like a real fight. You know, people are paid. And most of the people who came to these things were very wealthy business guys around Buckhead in the area because you had to pay the guy who was putting it on.
Yeah.
So, you know, they come in, they put you on the scale. And I got on the scale with this guy. He was like 6'9", 6'10". He was putting his hand up on my back of my head, showing everybody he was so much taller than me. And this guy right here really thought, like, okay, he was a young guy, really thought he was going to do something because he had, like, about 12, 15 fights. Man, let me tell you something. I hit this guy with a spinning back fist, man, out of nowhere. And when I hit it, it surprised me. First, I saw him standing there, and then when I spin it, hit him with a back fist for a split second, you had to take your eye off the opponent. When I hit him, I turned around, where is he? He was down on the mat.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, okay, I can go with this. So I started doing my dance. I won. Yeah. I was hoping this big dude didn't get back up.
Did he?
No, he didn't get back up, man.
So you said, what was it called then when you do it? It was unsanctioned.
It was unsanctioned. They call it a smoker. And a smoker means it's not really there.
Oh.
You know, it's just smoke. You know, when the smoke clear, everybody gone, which means, if something, we had got raided, everybody was gonna be going to jail. Everybody was getting out the back door.
So how do you get involved, or is it one of them things? If you move in the karate world and you move around fighters, you automatically know. And
people know who you are. Atlanta is a very small community. People hear about you. People know, like, okay, he teach karate. You know, people knew who I was at the time. So I had a couple of promoters, and a lot of the guys you fought against was real fighters.
Right.
But remember, kickboxers fought kickboxers, boxers fought boxers, you know what I'm saying? Right. The judo people fought judo people. Right. Now what they doing, if you a kickboxer and you want to fight, you got to fight anybody they put you up with. And they kind of put you in the area to where they had a matchmaker who didn't really care.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you were small and your card picked a big guy, that's who you fought.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's who you fought, man. It was fun, man. And I'm telling you, everybody used to be there. All the money guys in Atlanta used to be there.
So you said it's fun, but let me ask you. Well, I was listening to watching a Mike Tyson documentary, and he said before he went out on that ring to fight, he was terrified.
You know what? Me as a fighter, of me as an entertainer, of me as a father, me as a man, every day I'm afraid, but I'm not afraid of any one person. I'm more afraid of myself losing, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to be a terrible person. You don't want to fail in life. So what fear I have is when I face someone, I don't care how many times I beat him, I'm still nervous and scared, and I talk myself through it. And then I found out that the reason I'm afraid because you done beat this guy 3 times. He might get lucky today, you know, and you're afraid not to actually fight. You're afraid to lose, you know.
So are you undefeated?
I'm not undefeated, no. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it didn't happen. You can be afraid. You can be whatever. If you're going to get your butt kicked, you're going to get a kick no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You just learn to take it. And it motivated me to go back to the drawing board and do something else,
mm-hmm.
not quit on it. You know, you don't think about that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's always the part to me. Like, you have to, with being a fighter, period, one day you're going to lose. That's just inevitable. Floyd Mayweather going to lose one day.
But wait a minute. Let me tell you this right here. Floyd Mayweather may not ever lose in the ring,
yeah.
but he'd have lost in a couple of life situations.
Oh, yeah.
So he's losing. But this is who I don't really care for too much is the Ronda Rousey, for instance.
Ronda Rousey, yeah.
And the reason why I said that, people ask me, sir, why you don't like her as much? She talked too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you... I look at some of the top athletes today. If you look at, let's say, LeBron James. LeBron James, when you talk to him, he's talking about what he knows. He's talking about what? Basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He's the greatest. Michael Jordan, he's talking about basketball. Brady, you ever hear Brady? He give his opinion on other things, but most of the time when you talk to Brady, he's talking about football, his
what
sport.
He know, yeah.
This chick talk about everything but that, and she haven't lost yet.
Yeah.
She haven't lost yet. And
yeah.
one thing about this sport right here, fighting, is it's easy to be a champion until, like you say, you get punched in the mouth. When she get knocked down
mm-hmm.
and get up and go harder, you know, that's when you're a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad Ali won the world championship, what, 3 times?
Mm-hmm.
How many times did he lose? Each time he got up and he started that victory run all the way back, a couple of more wins, and I'm going to come back and beat this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like that. I just don't like the UFC and the way the UFC is promoting this fighter as the best, and she only had, for instance, 12 fights. And I said this right here. She won in the Olympic, the year she was in the Olympic, and I think she won bronze. She didn't win the gold.
Mm-hmm.
That means somebody beat her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if she lost to that person, where is that person now? You see what I'm saying? If the UFC really wanted to match up with a full match,
mm-hmm.
don't you think they'll be getting that other girl that's beat her in the league? But see, everything right now is building the brand. Right,
and that's what I was about to say. Everything now is so shock value and sensationalism that you can be doo-doo and you're going to be the loudest person on the team, on front of the camera, just to bring attention to the brand.
You know what? Right now, it's all about fame. Everybody want to be famous. You can be famous without being successful, being rich.
Yeah.
It's easy to make somebody famous.
Yeah.
Kardashians, they famous.
You can't
for what
do nothing.
Though? What can they do?
Well, they can do some stuff.
Yeah. So you see, you can be famous.
Yeah.
And not really be successful in some way.
And that can even backfire on you. What's Mayweather guy's name that did all that trash talking?
He's from Cincinnati. I can't think of his name.
Adrian Broner. But let me tell you about this cat. I like this. At first I didn't, because he talked so much, I did not like this guy. And he's talented too.
Mm.
But you know what? I saw his last fight, his last 2 fights, where he lost. No matter if he win, lose, or whatever, he going to still have that same attitude. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
not talking before the match, and when he get knocked out, he apologizing and
he's
looking
still
down. He's still like, hey, people going to still pay to see me. That's what people want to see. In pro wrestling, I lost every match. And in the beginning, I would win everything, and people still didn't get with me. It wasn't until I lost a few matches. And then I would went out there and say the same thing. I'm the greatest. I haven't lost in this arena ever.
Just lost.
People start getting with that. You know, people want to see you do something twisted.
And
people
you knew you was going to lose before you went out there, right?
That's the script that most people don't understand. The most successful wrestlers are the ones who can lose and people still want to see you.
Yeah.
Think about it. If you was a losing team, like the team used to play, the Holland Globetrotter, what's the name? The Generals.
Yeah.
They used to lose to them every time. Nobody won't see them. They won't see the Globetrotter play somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with me, when you lose, it's how you lose. You know, that's the smart thing. It's how writers sit down and say, okay, when you lose, you're going to lose trying to cheat, and you can really beat this guy. That's what we want to look like. We don't want nobody to just go right out and just destroy you. If you look at Ric Flair, Ric Flair lost a lot of matches.
Mm-hmm.
He got beat up a lot, but he's the most, to me, he's crazy. People love Ric Flair out there.
So you had the opportunity to sit with the writer and depict, now, if I'm going to lose, I need to go out on top.
Not really, because I didn't care about that. You know, I just wanted to be on TV. Mm-hmm. So when they started telling me, Monday night, this is what you're going to do. You're going in on Monday night. You're going to be on TV at 8:05 or whatever. They give you the schedule and your name is on there. You just happy. Then they say, okay, you're working with this guy. Okay, you're going to do the job for this guy, which means you're going to lose to this guy.
Mm.
Okay, now you and this guy put the match together. And when you put the match together, you got to be entertaining. You know,
so that means you got to go spar and practice with the guy.
No, you don't practice. It's just like doing the nay-nay.
Okay.
Listen, if you can do the nene in Atlanta, you can go to wherever they are doing the nene and you can dance with that person.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people jazz it up and put their own little swag to it,
mm-hmm,
and make it the nene, but they make it a little different.
Yeah, the Keisha nene.
Yeah.
The Keene.
Yeah.
Logging on that Keisha.
Yeah.
So I forgot the question I had, but when I always laughed at whenever they had like a top tier wrestler, they find some no name wrestler, just come in, whoop them up real quick, and then they do their thing on the mic to address the audience and all that.
But you know what? That no name, people look at it, that no name wrestler, that wrestler there could be one of the top names somewhere else.
Yeah.
But right now, he's just working somebody else's on top. Like John Cena. Right now, John Cena is the top wrestler out there,
right? That's the rapper guy, right?
Yeah, he's the top wrestler out there. And to me, he's talented. You know, he can handle the spotlight. He's well-spoken. He's a likable guy. But it takes a lot of people under him to make him into that person, you know?
Right.
You got to know. You don't just come out there and get beat up. You got to know how to lose to the guy to make him strong.
Right. Yeah, they lost with Grace real quick.
Boom.
I'm just saying, when I would watch wrestling, you know, they would always have just a no-name guy come out, get beat up a little bit. He'll get one or two good moves, and then before you know
it,
they
that happened to everybody in wrestling, even Triple H. Triple H is now that he's running the show, but that used to happen to him all the time.
Is he still wrestling?
Yeah, he's still wrestling. He's married to Vince McMahon's daughter, so he's running the show. And, you know, the funny part is this right here. When you, I used to tell everybody, when they said, man, you lost again? I said, you know what? Next time you see a match, right, with me in the match, and I know your TV kind of small. But what I want you to do, when they slam me and they get the 1, 2, 3, and I'm laying on my back, I want you to get real close to that TV screen so you can see me. And say, you want to look me in my face and you want to see, you're going to see a big smile on my face. And I said, you know what that smile is for? They said, what? So I'm thinking about that check. I don't give a damn about losing. You can beat. I look up. You won't beat me again.
Right.
No, I'm free this Monday. If you want to beat me?
Yeah. So it's all it's work. It's all. I mean, it's entertainment. You know, it's all it is.
Well, my thought was that I mean,
see, you can be a good wrestler. Yeah. I can get you and equip you with everything.
Yeah.
You'll be like Headache. That's be your name, Headache. Because you got a real big
there you go, there you go. There you go.
Your finishing move will be like the headbutt.
And you will be trombone because he's got his jawbone. He's got that Jay Leno going on.
You got a unibrow going, too. You got a unibrow. You see that?
You remember them half moon commercials with McDonald's? This Max and Nike. Look at that chin, boy.
He got the little skinny mustache. Y'all, I see this dude, man. This dude is so funny, man. His damn eyebrows thicker than his mustache.
He bipolar. You see how he go from a serious guy.
All right, where were we? I forgot. Well, let's get back.
It don't even matter.
You know, I'm just looking around. I just happened to look over at you, and I was like, man, this guy right here. I want to do that. Have a headband you can go over your head.
We're gonna take a break right now.
Tie one around your head.
We're gonna take a break, man. You listen to Ernest Miller on the Keno Tri Show. We'll be back in a few minutes. Peace.
just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme, and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime.
Yes, we are back.
We are back?
Yeah, we're back, man.
You know what, man? You guys are doing a great job interviewing. I like this, man. Nice. Man, but do you guys like each other?
Yeah.
I mean.
Do you guys get
this
along?
This is Atlanta. What do you mean by do we like each other?
I mean, I used that earlier.
Yeah. I mean.
Are you guys friends?
Yeah.
I mean, for real? You know, just two people thrown into this room to work together.
Yeah, we actually came to fight you.
It takes more than you two.
We about to surround you like Bruce Lee.
You guys need a lot of conditioning.
And I got a taser.
Yeah, my health insurance won't cover no fights. I'll video it while you and him fight.
That won't be long. They'll probably put me in jail like they did Michael Vick, kicking a dog.
Oh, don't kick no dogs. Hey,
no, we talking about
what you hear from Ernest Miller on the Keno Tri Show is not necessarily the views of the Keno Tri. Don't talk about no dogs. Yeah. You can talk about people all day, but dogs will get you banned.
Yeah,
suspended, kicked out.
Man, ain't worried about no dogs. Man, everybody fought dogs back in the day.
Oh, not everybody.
You didn't. Don't you never fought dogs? How about you?
Nope. I'm trying
he
to.
He said yes. He said yes. Yes, you did. You said yes. They can't see you shaking your head no, so I'll put the words. Yes, I did.
So before we end this interview, we'll talk about the softer side of Ernest. You do a lot of work. You have done work with the kids as far as teaching karate and teaching life skills and stuff like that. If you want. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I have worked with kids my whole life. You know, not even just something I've been doing recently, but even when I was wrestling, doing movie, I would actually take time out to work with kids because there's nothing like, you know, watching a kid learn and they're surprised themselves sometimes what they can learn, you know, what they can accomplish.
So, I mean, you even... conversations we've had, you said even to this day there might be people reach out to you that you mentored or even don't even remember.
All the time, man. You know, I mean, and it's not just kids, it's people in life. I try to be the best person I could be. I try to treat people like I would want people to treat me.
Well, you came in here acting like
a damn
fool, right?
I was about to say, let you see a straight hairline. And right. You go right ahead.
Look at you, job turkey.
Yeah. I'm like that because I'm telling you, man, I saw your beady eyes looking at me. And I put my hands. You know, I'm a martial artist. I don't wait until a person strike before I put my defense. I get at them first.
I like to tell the story.
I saw the way y'all were looking at me, y'all sitting up here with the hairlines. I said, these guys, I got my head bar. I said, these guys going to attack me. How about go at them swinging?
The first time I met this clown, we were at brunch. and
we telling this lie, man.
And,
it's a lie.
And it was hot in the brunch spot. And he came a little later. I don't know why he had his menu later or whatever. But he went to the restroom. And while he went to the restroom, I took his menu and started fanning myself. Now, this is the first time I met this dude, probably all of 15 minutes into our meeting, he comes back, snatches the menu out of my hand, get my damn menu, and sat down like nothing ever happened. I was like, just snatched it like my damn menu, and sat down and just started talking regular, like bipolar, something's wrong. I'm like, he's lucky bigger than me. I'll whoop his ass up in here, hit him with this food tray. But ever since then, he's been a thorn in my side.
Yeah, that's my boy, man. I really like Keno. Keno, nice guy, man. Smart guy. I like that. I like to see the young guys motivated to do something and to accomplish something. He brings people with him. I like that.
Just don't have a hairline.
Yeah.
He got one, but it's just bare. I'm telling you, you're going to have to wear like a permanent LeBron James
Well, if I can get a hairline,
LeBron James,
yours,
what
man,
you call that? What LeBron James, the little sweatband he wear on his headband?
Shit, that's a beach
towel. That's thick. You see how thick it is? Yeah.
Yeah, as long as my hairline can be as good as yours, man.
Who are you talking about, your boy? See, now he's attacking you. See, he's attacking
you.
No, he's looking at your hairline. No. He said that hairline is too perfect. So it got to be some paint right there. And if I wasn't afraid to get sued, I'd wipe some of that shit off your head. Reach over there and just wipe a handful off.
You can just see my scalp right here.
And there you have it. Ernest the Miller, Cat Miller, comes in and insults everybody in the room.
I could only imagine you go to a barbershop. Hey, what's going on? What's up, mother? Over there with a hairline and some sideburns. Damn. Right. I just said hi.
So, before we wrap this thing up, tell people where they can find you, social media, what projects you got going on, where you want your fans.
You know what? I'm just living life. I got a couple of projects I'm working on, and you guys will see it when it come out. You know, it's not like... It's not fake. It's not small. Anything I do is big, so people hear about it. So right now, just living life, and you can find me on Facebook, and all the good stuff. Let's just put it like that, all the good stuff.
Said all the good stuff. Yeah. Or just Google Ernest the Cat Miller, and you will see some of the videos he locked me in his house and made me watch. So some of y'all, some other people should be tortured too. I'm like, man, I'm hungry, man. Wait, man, let's watch one more video. We'll go get you something to eat, man.
You ain't about to pass
He's
out.
He's lying. Yet. I got to come to one of his shows. See, I'm telling you, I'm coming to your show, Kino. As soon as you say something that's not fun, I'm going to hit you in the back with an apple.
I done offered to come pick him up. He don't come. He won't answer the phone. He want me to go to the show. He going to be... He don't want to see me shine. That's all it is.
I want to see you shine. That's something I want to see you shine. Even if you don't shine on stage, that forehead going to shine.
I knew it.
Right
so
now.
So do you go to any of the WWE shows when they come here?
Even
just to
I go sometimes, but it take a lot of work for me to go to those shows. Like for instance, I can't sit out in the audience,
right?
You know, so that means
I have VIP access.
Yeah, I got to do all that, and sometimes you know, I just meet up with my friends after. You know, the guys I know. You know, Mark Henry, The Rock.
Did you watch that last Fast and Furious?
I haven't yet, no.
Man, you
is
watch
it good?
No.
It's a brand. Now, see, you see how I think it watered down when it was trying to catch you and it would catch on the first one?
But it would have been good. And the only reason why when it first came out and I didn't say it was bad was because Paul Walker died. But as I think back about how hyped it was, the movie sucked.
It was because
it was halfway put together. And I understand why.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
They put so much money in it, and then he passed. And then
how about this right here? How about NWA? Either one of y'all went to see NWA? What do you think about that?
I think it was cool. I don't think it was as hype. Good. I didn't think it meet the hype because it wasn't all factual.
I think it was pretty. I enjoyed it because I kind of. That was my time. You know, that's when hip hop was me then. You know, NWA, Eazy-E. All those guys, man. So I knew the music, but I didn't have the story behind the music.
Well, the story wasn't always accurate.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But it was enough for me to be interested in it. Yeah. You know, it was believable, like the one when they were saying F the police, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, everybody in the hood used to ride around with that on. Whenever see the police turn up, bang. Yeah. And then you wanted to know, like, you never really thought about, like, why did they write this? How did they come up with this? Maybe they mad at the police or something. But then when they start telling the story, I think they pull in the Hollywood stunt where they're tricking people. They put a little bit out there. So the next one they put out, they can really pump it up.
Mm-hmm.
And people going to go see it because they just they touched on so many different things. Like, they got the boy who beat up here, Suge Knight, who... just crazy out there in L.A. They got a little story by him. Then they put up the story with Eazy-E, you know, him and Eazy-E. And,
I mean,
know,
it's so many characters that it's hard to put in 2 hours. Each one of them could probably do the individual story.
Yeah, they show a little Tupac. They show a little bit of Snoop Dogg. Those are all stories that I would love to hear, you know, in the movies. Yeah, so I think they're going to make another movie.
Well, you know, Master P's coming out with one.
Yeah, but who want to know? I don't know. See,
he has a great story. I would like to see his story play out. But knowing Master P, he's going to sensationalize it too much.
All you got to do is watch what's the movie on Empire. It's the same thing. It's all that hip hop stuff is the same thing. Everything going to be grimy and, you know, coming from the jail.
Well, I saw an interview where he did on the Breakfast Club, and he got in depth with it, and I thought it was pretty interesting. If he,
you know, back in the day though, you know, his little story was that he was able to market himself. He was able to make his music and sell it out of the trunk of his car, and that was smart. He was making a lot of money, but. You know, maybe he was doing other things too, because I don't think he was making the money.
He got some money from his granddaddy dying.
Yeah,
that's how he did
from a relative.
Yeah, but his brother isn't his brother the one who's in jail for life?
For murder.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Murdered a 15-year-old. What you doing at a club with a 15-year-old?
Well, and he almost got out of it or something like that, if my memory serves me correct. Like, he was out on probation or something.
And he was in the club
on video camera shooting somebody in the club.
Yeah.
No guy. But you know, if I were going to hear something It was those other guys from down in that area that I really like.
Cash Money.
Yeah.
I mean, all of them got stories that we probably should hear. I mean, it's definitely entrepreneurship.
Okay, well, there's too many people ahead of them that I want to hear.
Who? Like who? Who you want to hear? Something like Grover Washington or somebody?
Public
you look
Enemy,
like one
the
of
X-Clan.
Old uppity. Uppity, you know, listen to jazz.
Part of the bourgeoisie.
Listen
to jazz.
He's all
cool. Part of the bourgeoisie going on.
With your glass of wine.
Yeah, you got me. Yeah.
Yeah, I know niggas like that.
He went the whole show and then he had to.
Uppity. He don't want to hear the hip hop. He want to go to Grover Washington.
If I'm listening to hip hop, I want to listen to some real hip hop.
Like who? Okay, who?
You know, you go take it back to Public Enemy, take it back to the X-Clan.
Uh oh. From the East, my brother to the East.
You know what? Those guys right there, they put all their stories on wax. You know, when Public Enemy made a song, they told you exactly why they were making the song in the lyrics, you know, right then. You know, N.W.A. may sound like F the Police. And you're like, what are they talking about? You had to get into it. But when Public Enemy was made up in the thing, if you listen to it, they told the story.
They told the story. Fight the power.
Yeah, and they telling you why in the whole video and everything. So, yeah.
As much as I love Public Enemy, there was a few songs on each one of the albums.
I didn't like Public Enemy. Yeah, yeah, man.
Well, back then, you know, you was able to be an artist. You played with stuff. Got the sound, and then you wanted to toy with some stuff. Right now, it's cookie cutter. Everybody's saying the same thing.
But you know what? Everybody's saying the same thing, but at the same time now, you got to understand this. They dealing with the same people in Hollywood, and they're going to only get played. They're going to only play what they want to hear. I don't care how good your music is. These top people going to deal with what they want to deal with.
Yeah.
And so, it's the reason why they want to deal with what they want to deal with when it comes from
negative
music.
Tearing down people. Yeah. You know, you just hear a lot of negative stuff out there. And you know, I was in Hollywood, and it's some talented people in Hollywood, man. Even people you've never heard doing their own music, got their own money. You listen to the music. I was like, now why they don't play this on the radio? Man, it's good beat, good everything.
They don't dumb down the kids and
exactly.
And, yeah,
they ain't talking about that good cushion alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got some down biatches I can call.
Yeah. He knows. He people like him.
Anyway, we're going over the time, man. We're going to end this. We want to thank everybody who's listening live. We're here every Tuesday, 8 o'clock, Kino Tri Show. Next week, we got comedian Greg G. Williams out of Fresno, California. He's going to be stopping through town and stopping through the Kino Tri Show. And the week after that, Chelsea Rice, local comedian extraordinaire.
Uncle Rice
in the building. So stay tuned. You can always go to blogtalkradio.com and listen to all the shows previous. We got them listed. They're archived. If you're doing nothing at work, man, just log in, man. Just log in and listen to what we got to say, man. You might learn something. So until next time, have a great week, and we'll talk to everybody later. Peace.
All right, let's go, babe. Let's get the hell out of here. I'm ready to go.
Lay. Duh. Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, all ready to show. Goes on all night. Every morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come to the show. Up, I just laugh, put my kicks up on they desk, unaffected by they threats, then get busy on they ass. See, that's how that shut down made me. That's how my daddy raised me. That glycerin may not be gold, don't let nobody play me. If you are my homeboy, you never have to pay me. Don't even put your hands up, when times is hard, you stand up. LUP the man, cause the brand that the fans trust. So even if they ban us, they'll never slow my plans up.
Oh, yeah.
for the brother that's there. Three in the air for the kids in the ghetto. Four for the kids that don't wanna be there. None for the niggas trying to hold him back. Five in the air for the teacher not scared to tell those kids that's living in the ghetto that the niggas holding back, that the world is theirs. Yeah, yeah, the world is yours. I was once that little boy, terrified of the world. Now I'm on a world tour. I will give up everything, even start a world war for these ghetto girls and boys I'm rapping around the world for. Africa to New York, Haiti then I detour. Oakland out to Oakland, got the strip to Detroit. Say hip hop only destroy. Tell them look at me, boy. I hope your son don't have a gun and never be a D-boy. What you into, no matter what you see, when you look outside your window, brown grass or green grass, picket fence or barbed wire, never ever put them down, you just lift your arms higher, raise them to your arms higher, let them know you there, that you struggling, surviving, that you gon' persevere, yeah, ain't nobody leaving, nobody going home, even if they turn the lights down, the show is going on, alright, alright.